I think now we can start. Andrea, if you want to share your screen, but just a second, we have some different presentation today with different kind of settings, from the hospital to community, in different kind of communities. You see, but again, at the end, we have primary care. So we are going from more health care communities to each at the end, at the beginning. So we can start with our first presentation from Andrea Della Salda, University of Calgary. I hope you can see everything. Andrea, you have to. If not, I can share.
In 2020, the University Hospital of Cagliari, Sardinia, Italy, launched a program on citizen satisfaction according to an action research approach. The aim of the program is to elaborate an evaluation method of perceived quality in a healthcare facility, in agreement with healthcare professionals and users and supported by the most recent studies in literature. The first steps of this program aim to carry out a literature review in order to explore existing visions and concepts of citizen satisfaction and to identify models and evaluation tools, to highlight professionals' views on user satisfaction, to highlight citizens' views on expected quality, to create, through a participatory research approach, a shared vision among professionals, including early career ones and students, in order to define common aims and select the most appropriate evaluation methods according to the local context. The first phase involved 100 healthcare professionals who were asked through a photobooth session to suggest which factors were able to generate customer satisfaction dissatisfaction. The professionals were then asked to re-elaborate the results of the photobooth through other participatory methods, brainstorming a work cafe, in order to confirm or disconfirm the results. Additionally, we explored through a series of short interviews the opinions and visions of a small number of professionals, physicians and nurses of the University Hospital of Calgary. The results have been outlined in a satisfaction tree graph divided in 5 services and 12 plus 1 critical issues, which identify the fundamental aspects to the user satisfaction in a healthcare context. A second strategy was designed to estimate the expectations of potential users toward hospital services. Hypothetical situations representing common hospital practice were submitted in a pilot study to a representative sample of the general population. Responders attributed a higher value to elements such as kindness and professionalism, privacy and dignity, and information, while underestimating hotel-related aspects. The participative process, based on literature review, along with discussions with professionals and students, and the assessment of questionnaires, highlighted the need to adapt the Valdani-Busacca model of customer satisfaction to the healthcare context through the development of a new model of citizen satisfaction, which combined traditional elements, expected quality, planned quality, projected quality, perceived quality, implemented quality, delivered service, with health promotion milestones like quality policies, shared vision, capability approach, social cohesion, sense of coherence, and health literacy.
Finch? Yeah. Do you have any comments or questions? At the end of every presentation, we can have some comments. Maybe I can add more because I'm also part of this activity, but this is an in progress activity. And the last days we were completing also a training course for people in the hospital. And what we are realizing how much is important to involve health professionals from the beginning in this kind of action. So to avoid it, to have some kind of customer satisfaction that can be seen as something coming top down from the management just to check what people is doing, but to use WES to support people in working better and also sometimes in asking more to the management. For example, we have some request of people asking to stay, of citizens who don't agree with or don't like a place where we have to wait. But it's clear that this is not the responsibility of the health professional, but it's more related with management. So it's also a tool for health professionals. If we don't have comments, we can go to the second presentation from, I think it's from Lydia Hernandez. Maybe you want to share directly?
No.
If there is no voice, probably the problem is that you have to, before sharing screen, or I can share the screen, maybe.
And I'm social worker in public health in Valencia, Spain. Platja Sense Fun Project. The Back with Mofri Beaches Network was launched in 2020 in Valencian region.
Maybe I can share the screen if you prefer. Rosana?
As a non-punitive awareness...
Can you put your microphone on?
...creating healthy settings and protecting population from the harmful effects of tobacco smoke and its residues. Pieces of this project are...
I think you don't have...
...a life without tobacco...
No, I think it's better.
You... Maybe I can share.
Okay.
Your poster is number 252. Andrea, can you share? Or you have her?
Okay.
We can hear it.
It's a pleasure to be here today. Excuse my English. My name is Lydia Hernandez. I'm a social worker in public health in Valencia, Spain. Platja Sense Fun Project, the Tobacco Smoke Free Beaches Network, was launched in 2020 in Valencian region. As a non-punitive awareness raising strategy, I'm creating healthy settings and protecting population from the harmful effects of tobacco smoke and its residues. Objectives of this project are to promote and help people to enjoy a life without tobacco, to respect environment, to reinforce the role model played by adults in children, to involve the population in making healthy decisions, and to denormalize tobacco consumption in society. The project was aimed at 60 coastal municipalities of Valencian region in 2020. The commitment on joining consisted of geographically delimiting the smoke-free beach, identifying the area with a distinctive sign, providing litter garbage cans and hazard attic access, disseminating through the media smoke-free declared areas, training some mediators in order to ensure friendly compliance with the agreement, and offering support for public health professionals to carry out their role.
Thank you.
11 municipalities joined the project with a total of 80 smoothie sections of beaches throughout the year 2020. 50 flags were placed, hashtags and litter garbage cans were provided at the entrance of smoothie sections of beaches. Media dissemination was carried out through social networks, radio, regional television and press. And more than 200 registrations for training mediators were received. Plata Sense Fum Network is an intersectoral project that contributes to care for the physical environment and facilitates the enjoyment of a smoke-free space, generating healthy cities. This project involves the citizens' debate on the opportunity to create a space that encourages non-smoking. Due to its good reception, next step is generating a smoke-free space to river beaches too. In order to evaluate results obtained and gather proposals for improvement, other municipalities and trained mediators will be evaluated throughout the year 2021. Thank you so much.
Okay,
I think we learned that sometimes with PowerPoint, the problem is that the sound is not very high. But anyway, it's just possible to follow. Are there any comments?
Hello, I'm Marina. I want to ask, how do you think that was the response of people? Are they happy or are they angry for this kind of measures? Because they are always very controversial.
Como no tiene carácter punitivo, sí que es más concentración. Antes problemas, pero no.
The project is not punitive. And there are some people that go to these areas that is smoke free. And the people say, no, you, if you are smoking, you can do, you can stay here. And a little problems with people that are smokers and they don't are too much agree with this project. But in general, the people that goes there was happy, and in fact this year we have more beaches that are in the in this project of Platges Sense Fum. And also, we made a questionnaire, a qualitative questionnaire, asking the municipalities and in general, the satisfaction of the in the project is very high.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have the same idea of how much this could generate conflicts, but you didn't have any big experience of conflict in the beach.
No big experience of conflict. There are sometimes the people see the flag but don't know what means, and when the people that are in these areas tell you can smoke here in this because it's a smoke-free beach. But there are some the people has to change the place, and but it's not a big conflict.
Okay, good. We can go to the next speaker, Nabiha Ramadan. I can continue to ask Andrea, who is working very well with us, to share.
It's okay, I can share my screen. I will try to share my screen.
Oh, okay.
Hello. Do you think the rates of breastfeeding are satisfactory? And who's intervening to improve the situation? My name is Nabiha Ramadan, and I'm here to present my study entitled Online Breastfeeding Support Groups, a Community Asset in Lebanon Post-Beirut Explosion. Despite the benefits of exclusive breastfeeding, the rates are still low in Lebanon due to the several challenges we are facing: the COVID-19 pandemic, the economic crisis, and political instability that got worse after the Beirut port explosion on August 4th, 2020, affected the whole community, including breastfeeding mothers. With the limited role of the government, the community is creating a support network on social media to promote breastfeeding. Therefore, the aim of our study is to identify the breastfeeding challenges, facilitators, and assets, and to describe how these assets are used for building community resilience to pandemics and disasters impact. For this purpose, we performed an inductive qualitative content analysis on posts and comments retrieved from the Facebook breastfeeding support group with the highest number of members. The collected data was categorized into themes, categories, and subcategories, and was analyzed over two phases. In phase one, the identified challenges were lack of support from healthcare professionals and from peers, lack of supportive policies for breastfeeding, maternal emotional stress related to the situation, misconception, and lack of knowledge. As for facilitators and assets, support from the community came as supportive messages, sharing information and advices, and successful breastfeeding stories. We also had donations and the creation of a reduced price market. In phase two, focusing on community resilience, access to social support in challenging time by communication of scientific information, encouraging messages, and sharing also successful stories. In community engagement, lactation consultant and psychologist volunteered in order to help women to overcome the situation. Resources were mainly milk donation given for mothers who couldn't breastfeed anymore, in addition to breastfeeding gears giveaways. Several organizations cooperated together in order to improve the community resilience. Putting it all together, we have been able to conclude that community assets on social media are creating an ecosystem for inducing community resilience and empowering women to breastfeed in this stressful situation and when the role of the government is lagging.
Okay, thank you. Questions or, yeah? Questions or comments from the
audience? I have a question.
Yes.
Which percentage of mothers breastfeed nowadays in Beirut?
It's highly variable. Even in the studies, there are very low percentages. There are mixed results. They start quite high, about 53%. And mm-hmm. then the rate will decrease after 1 month. And after 6 months, it reaches about 4%, 5% after 6 months. Who exclusively breastfeed?
Oh, this may be due to if the mother has to go to work.
There are several reasons, but mainly the healthcare is not supportive. The healthcare system, we don't have any baby-friendly hospital in Lebanon, zero. Mm. Because pediatricians, they get rewards for marketing formula milk. Mm-hmm. So that's why they are not willing to reject this. And that's why we don't have breastfeeding baby-friendly hospitals in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, the lactation consultants are not part of the healthcare system. The third reason is that pediatricians, they don't push for exclusive breastfeeding. It's very easy for them to just tell the mothers, okay, you introduce formula milk.
Did you ask them why do they do that? Do you know why?
Because of this marketing technique from the formula milk companies who, for example, give rewards for pediatricians. This is one. Mm. The second reason is that I believe that in the medical school curriculum, they do not have an appropriate education of breastfeeding as part of the medical program. Mm. So it's very easy for the pediatrician to just weigh the baby. If the infant is not gaining appropriate weight, directly he can say, okay, use formula milk.
Yeah.
Or for example, if the mother has, if the baby is having like a cow's milk allergy, directly prescribe a breast milk substitute with a modified milk instead of just telling the mother to eliminate from the diet everything that is dairy, from the dairy products. So I guess that's the reason behind it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our
and
comment?
I ask one, and the community nurses? Community nurses?
Even the, we don't have community nurses. The nurses are just part of the hospital, and I believe that it's because of the same reason. There is no really good preparation and education in this type of nursing. I guess the breastfeeding part is only for midwives. But they are not specialized in this area. So what we should do, what the government should do, is to make the lactation consultants part of the hospitalized system, because nurses in general working in the maternity ward, they are more mother friendly, you know. So they take the baby, for example, after birth. They take the baby to the nursery room, and they don't bring it to the mother unless she asks for it. So it's a very weak sector promoting breastfeeding. So we have the problem of the government, and we have the problem of the healthcare system in general as a system.
In some way, probably we are summarizing a lot of things that we told in the last day and a half. About commercial pressure, about competencies of professionals, about working in, about hospitalization, medicalization of public health and healthcare. So breastfeeding is unifying several of the main issues of health promotion.
Yes, of course, but here I have to add something that is very recent in Lebanon. Is that due to the economic crisis, we are not importing formula milk anymore. So now my future studies would be to see the impact of this lack of or the absence of the formula milk in the market. How is it affecting the breastfeeding rate? So hopefully next year.
Okay, thank you. Again, we go again to Valencia, and maybe Andrea.
Yes, please. Andrea, could you share the PowerPoint?
This is very interesting for me because probably this is something I start to see, I think, 25 years ago in Valencia, this network of municipalities.
Could you increase the volume that is in the... okay.
Good morning. I'm Rosana Peiro Perez from Valencia, Spain, working in the Valencian Office for Community Action for Health in the Regional Public Health Authorities in Valencia. We are going to present the Network of Municipalities for Health in the Valencian Community, an evaluation process, and is the network of municipalities that have taken the commitment to boost health promotion at the local level through community participation, intersectoriality, and equity perspective, the three pillars that Xarxa Salut is based. And the objective is present the policy process evaluation that we are doing of the implementation of this network at the Valencian community. We use three different approaches, a description of the situation. The first year, 70 municipalities were joined, being 240 in February of this year. That means 75% of the Valencian community population. 46% of the municipalities are in a process of an organizational change. 32 are doing analysis of determinants of health and health situation, assets maps. 14 percent of municipalities are doing community action, 6% are doing evaluation of their work. The initial questionnaires sent to the municipality shows that the main barriers are a lack of economic and personal resources and difficulties to achieve community participation, being the main benefits, the optimization of resources, training and exchange of experience and economic support. We also give support from the public health services. We have 23 public health centers distributed in the territory, a collection of guides for community development, 4 guides that are fully used by municipalities, more than 1 million of euros for give support to the community actions in the municipalities, interdisciplinary training process with health and municipal professionals, and meetings for experience exchange, and we now just finished the 4th meeting of Charcha Salud. In any case, it's necessary to improve coordination and a common language between different types of participants and professionals.
Okay, comments or questions? I think that this last point of common language is something that in these days is coming several times. Which are the most important difference?
Really, when we try to work in the intersectoral perspective, when you speak about people from urbanism, for example, they can understand health and determinants of health. They never think before that the urbanism has impact. On health, because usually the people think that health is disease. If you are ill, no, or are things related with health services, and really the effort that you are doing to that the other sectors in the municipalities think that health is more than disease, I think is the most challenging aspect in this network of urban health.
Other questions?
Hello, I just wanted to say congratulations because I know the initiatives and really it's a very, very good plan, and really explain it in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, it's very complicated. And really, it's a very good initiative. And the guides are very good too. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so probably we can move to the 5th presentation. DM certification eases to follow a healthy diet outside home in Catalonia, Spain. Again, yes. We have to share the...
Yes, I can share it. Would you like me to do it, or are you going to do it?
Maybe with Andrea is working very well, so maybe we can continue.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Gemma Miranda, and I am a certified dietitian nutritionist with a master's degree in public health. On behalf of the Public Health Agency of Catalonia, I will present DMET certification. Since the amount of people eating out of home has increased over the decades, the Public Health Agency of Catalonia designed DMET certification in order to identify food services and restaurants promoters of the Mediterranean diet, and in the process, improve the quality of lunch menus. DMET certification is framed in the integral plan of health promotion through physical activity and healthy eating of the Public Health Agency of Catalonia. The program began in 2007, and since then, we have certified and improved menus of more than 700 food services in 162 different towns and villages, which allow to more than 113,000 people every day to eat healthy. We receive the requests from the EMET website or through the regional teams of the Public Health Agency of Catalonia. Menus are then evaluated by a certified dietitian, and suggestions of improvement, if needed, are requested. Once the changes are made, we proceed to emit the certification, which is renewed every 2 years. As you can see from the food offer improvements of 580 establishments since 2012, the food services that request EMET certification already comply with most of the requirements. Not so much in the use of healthy oil for cooking or frying. Services tend to use sunflower oil or other mixture of oils, which we make them change to olive oil or high oleic sunflower oil. Also, we have improved the presence of whole grain products, mainly in the form of bread. We have also reduced the sugary dairy desserts and the alcoholic beverages usually present in the lunch menus, highlighting the presence of fresh fruits for dessert. In 2019, we implemented a new requirement of offering free water for drinking, which has been a major improvement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And which kind of places are more interested in this?
Restaurants are the most interested, but we, the Public Health Agency, are most interested in certifying campings. Food services from enterprises. One of these establishments, you have seen that we have 739 establishments, but one of them is from SEAT, which they have 15,000 people eating every day for 222 years for their most of their life if they work there. So it's very important for these people every day to find the fruit, fresh fruit, vegetables, olive oil, whole grain bread. So that's the impact we are looking for from the Public Health Agency. But yes, restaurants are the most interested in the certification because it's free and it gives them the sense of, I don't know, distinguishing themselves from the others.
Other comments?
Yes. How are restaurants reacting to the point related to alcohol and fermented beverages?
Excuse me, what was the question again?
How are the restaurants reacting to the point related to alcohol? Yes. Or maybe you are encouraging consumption of red wine as part of Mediterranean diet?
No, what we did is to reduce the portion of alcoholic beverage to one portion per person, because they used to leave the bottle of wine, even though there was one person just eating there, and they would leave the bottle. So we reduced it to one portion, one beer, okay. One cup, one glass of wine.
And do you have specific programs for daycare or school or other canteens, or it's the EMET program in general?
It's the EMET because the Public Health Agency also has other programs. Yesterday, we presented Maria Blanquet, another nutritionist that works for the Public Health Agency, presented the PREME, which is the evaluation of the school menus.
Okay.
So as the Public Health Agency, we have many programs. And this is for the enterprises and restaurants. And we have the other one for the schools. And we're probably planning or designing, or we have to design probably one for the old people, should I say, old people residences? Yes. But nowadays we have the enterprises and restaurants and the lunch menus.
Thank you.
If not, we can go to the last presentation, Marina Paula Garcia. And I think we have to launch the video.
I share my own screen with the presentation, and I am going to speak. let me Are you watching my screen?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So, hello, I'm Marina Pola García, and I am a community nurse from Zaragoza, Spain. I am going to speak now about the study diagnosis of the situation of recommendation of health assets in primary care in a Spanish region, Aragon. Social prescribing or recommendation of assets for health, here we call it that in this way, is a tool in primary care. Social prescribing enables primary care professionals to refer people to a range of local, non-clinical services to support their health and well-being. Currently, emergency evidence suggests that social prescribing can improve well-being, create value, and bring sustainability to the healthcare system. In Aragon, right now, the Department of Health of the Aragon's government has been developing the community care strategy in primary care since 2016. This strategy has a salutogenic perspective, and its action plan includes the implementation of social prescribed schemes. A recommendation guide for social prescribing in social prescribing schemes were done for this action. And this guide is linked to the patient's electronic health record for everybody can follow this patient. Currently, a research is being done to develop a model of evaluation indicators standardized to assess the implementation of the formal schemes of recommendation. And for this process, it's necessary to elaborate a diagnosis of the situation here. And this is the study what I am going to speak now. The methodology, it's a descriptive cross-sectional analysis of the situation of social prescribing. And it was done with the static software STATA. The period analyzed was from September 2018 to June 2020. And the protocol of social prescribing of the electronic health record was used as data source, and several variables were considered. You can watch there. And now we'll speak about results and conclusion. The number of patients in the program at the end of the period was 1,416. The percentages have been increasing since the implementation, little by little. 73% of the patients were women. The average age was over 62 years. 64% of primary care centers recommended health assets, and the professionals who mostly recommend assets were nurses followed by doctors. And the most frequent aspect to promote was physical activity. You can see in the presentation the other spheres about we can recommend. Finally, as conclusion, the quantitative analysis must be completed with a subsequent qualitative analysis to generate strong conclusions, but the institutional support with the community care strategy in Aragon is working, and social prescribing is practiced in most primary care teams, and its popularity is growing. Most of the health assets recommendations were made to elderly women, so it would be necessary to assess the reason. Are they who benefit most from this, or is there any other reason? And finally, the most frequent aspect to promote was physical activity. This may be influenced by the traditional approaches in our health system. Thank you.
Questions or comments?
Hello, Marina.
Hello, Daniel.
I'm Nay Hernandez. Thank you for your presentation. It was really interesting. Actually, this is a really interesting issue, the health assets field. My question is, well, I have been working on this issue in the Basque Country and also in Navarra, in the north of Spain, and we have experienced a few troubles, not troubles, but perhaps conflicts, role conflicts with social workers that are also working in primary care centers with nurses and medical doctors. And I would be pleased if you could tell us or explain if this has been also a conflict or with them, you're in Aragon.
Okay. At the beginning, everybody had a lot of doubts about what was the mean of social prescribing. Why social? No, because really the concept of the word social, logically, is more related with a social worker. And sometimes, especially at the beginning, it could generate some conflicts, but little by little, we work together, nurses, doctors, social workers, of course, because they are a very, very, very important part in this process, because really they are the people who most know about it. Little by little, too, obviously with midwife, pediatrician, and other professionals who work in primary health center, and little by little, we got understand together. And now I think that everybody understand what is their role there. Okay, and for example, I am a nurse, and I can do a recommendation, but sometimes I can't, I need to derivate this person to the social worker, because okay. I can do more for her or his, or him. Okay, I don't know if I respond to your question.
Yes, yes, Marina.
Communication, communication, coordination, and more communication.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we had the same problems here, and we started the same way, just trying to explain what was the concept, and every role, where was located in every role throughout the social prescribing. So thank you very much.
Yes, and really, this is one of the reasons, not the problem with the social worker, okay, but the concept social in the norm of social prescribing. This was one of the reasons for changing the name of the activity. For this reason, we speak about recommendation of health assets and not about social prescribing. In fact, in Asturias and other places, other regions in Spain, it happened too. And in Spain, in the last guide about primary care and community care, they speak about recommendation of assets for health and not for social prescribing.
Again, it's interesting in these days how much sometimes words are affecting what we are doing, health, social, or other words. Other comments? Diet was not related with this kind of prescribing.
Can I make question to Marina? When you speak about electronic record, how you introduce the assets in is in the Historia Clinica? Sorry, in the conversation.
Yes. Clinica. Yes, we have to speak. The Department of Health took the decision to introduce a protocol about recommendation in the historical clinical electronic of the patient, and from consultants we can recommend an asset and we can register all the process. We work with the Buscador de la Alianza de Salud Comunitaria, sorry, but this is the name of the web, here in Aragon, and we use it, we use it for looking for the assets, and we register it in the in the program that we use in the consultants.
Many thanks.
We have still 5 minutes if someone wants to have a general comment about the different presentations. Or again, a question for someone. If not, I think that we can close our meeting. Thank you for your participation and your contribution to this conference. Gracias for la mayoría que son de regiones de España. And see you in the next part of our conference. Bye.
Gracias.
Many thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.